So, today's daf is daf Lamed Ches, and we're holding at the two dats, and we're continuing the sugya of kelim, what halacha they have, kelim that are owned by one person, that are borrowed by another person, or where two people mix ingredients in a misa, the latter part of the Mishnah. So the next piece of the Mishnah says, "Asher el kli mechaveiro me'erev yom tov." Somebody who borrows a kli, the kli gets the din of the ragle hasho'el. So the one who borrows it, that kli is considered basically to be his. And isn't that obvious? Pshita. I mean, that's the point of borrowing it. Once you put it into his rishus, it's in his rishus. Why would I think otherwise? It's talking about that they agreed on the borrowing, but the actual giving over the chayfetz took place only on Yom Tov itself. I would have thought, if not for this Mishnah, that until it actually gets into his rishus, being as there's no kinyan, nothing takes place, so it shouldn't be in his rishus vis-a-vis trumim either. Therefore it comes to teach us that when it says sha'el over here, even though it doesn't mean that he gave it to him, that he agreed to the sha'ela, once they were semech, that this is the arrangement, then that means that the da'at was that it should be b'makom shvitato, and that's the concept of rishus when it comes to tchumi. Misayeh alei l'Rabbi Yochanan, yomer Rabbi Yochanan, ha'sha'el kli mechaveiro me'erev yom tov, af ha'pi shelo natno lo ela b'yom tov, which is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan brought out, that this is the meaning, basically, of our Mishnah. When you get something on Yom Tov, that doesn't necessarily mean that it comes, has the rishus of the person that you got it from. Because if, before Yom Tov, there was already a smichus da'at, that it would be in your rishus, then it's considered to be in your rishus. It was konesh shvita, along with your own. If, however, continues the Mishnah, if it was borrowed on Yom Tov, then it only has the din of the mash'il. Now, since we're talking about, in light of what we just said, that means you didn't even discuss it before Yom Tov, so then pshita, what would I possibly be eila b'das if nobody asked me for my kli, and it's only on Yom Tov that the whole thing is happening? How could I think that my kli magically knew that it would belong to somebody else? It was kind of shvisa somewhere else. I mean, and every idiot knows that that's impossible. So pshita. Lo tzricha deragil v'shael minei. It's talking about a guy that has one of those kind of neighbors that always needs that particular thing, you know. So every week you're just waiting for the guy's going to show. Okay. So ma de temes, you might think, brushu take a mukim. Basically, he's given up. I keep it in my house just for good looks. I know it's the other guy's going to be. Kamash Malan, this teaches us that hope never dies. Meimar Omar, the guy always says to himself, Dilma Mishkechina Shachrina, maybe he'll find some other sucker. V'yazil v'shayel minei, he'll go and ask him maybe one time. Then I'll actually get to have it as my own. So that the Mishnah Gufa comes to teach that until the guy actually borrows it, he hasn't given up, and he's hoping that he's going to be able to keep his own chayfetz. V'chein, ha'isha shishala michaverta. So too, a woman who borrows some water, salt, tavlin, and so on. So Rabbi Abba, before he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he knew, boy, they were rough on Bavliim in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, they didn't like them, and they didn't. They held they were mimakam chashucha, and they say sforas to the chashuchas. He was trembling, let me tell you. So before he made Aliyah, he said, Yehi Rava Deima Milta de Titkabel. May it be your Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu that when I get there, and I say a svara, it should be acceptable, and they shouldn't laugh at me. So Kisolik, he goes up to Eretz Yisrael. Ashkechel Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi and Rabbi Zera. Some say it was Rabbi Avu. Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. But anyway, the Chabura is sitting there, and they're learning this Mishnah. The Yati, the Kamre, and they're sitting discussing between themselves. Why in the world on an isa that's got a little bit of water in it that belongs to one person, a little bit of salt. Why wouldn't that just be batel? I mean, the isa itself is the main ingredients of the isa. You're going to tell me that because there's some salt in it, it belongs to somebody else. So because of that, you shouldn't be allowed to carry the isa outside of the tchum of the person who owns the salt. It's weird. So here was Reb Abba's grand opportunity. He was going to say the svara, and he couldn't control himself because he thought this question was really ridiculous. He says, I understand what you're talking about. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about tchumim. What defines tchumim? Whose it is. So you can't say that because something is batel, so therefore what? My thing isn't here. I mean, my thing is still here. You're certainly not going to turn around and tell me, oh, sorry, but your salt just disappeared, so we won't pay you anything for your salt. Because it was batel. But let's say a guy had one kav of chitim. Falls into 10 kavim of chitim of his friends. And the friend says, gee, sorry, but your kav chitim was batel, so I'll just eat the whole thing and I'll be happy. And why should I bother worrying about your kav chitim? It's all batel. That's what you guys are saying. That because there's a rov, and therefore we should go according to Isa, so we shouldn't worry about your money. That's crazy. And of course they all burst out laughing. He's crazy. So Achiko Alei. So boy, he really got hurt, Reb Abba. Omalahu. Hey, guys. Gultichu shakli. What, did I take your beautiful chosh of a jacket off of you? I mean, I want to be the Gadol Hador over here. What are you laughing at me for? It's not a svara. Perfectly reasonable svara. Omra Boshaya. Shaper of Adachiko Alei. A good thing they laughed at him. Boy, we got to stop this kind of thing in its tracks. What's he talking about? First of all, I mean, if he really was saying a clear svara, can you tell me why he so conspicuously avoided discussing a case where maybe somebody's chitim would fall into somebody's seorim? Didn't say a word about that. Now, why didn't he say a word about that? Because he knew that it was min b'sheino mino. So that means that he, deep down, was thinking to himself, I better not say that because then I'll have to be made of that it's batel. See, he also knows that it's batel. Why did he say dafka case of kav chiti basara kav chiti? Because he chaps on a case of min b'sheino mino. Min b'sheino mino is batel. So, okay. So chitim b'chitim nami. We could say back to the same thing about him. But once he's already talking like that, I mean, so look, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not batel. According to Rabbanan, indeed it would have been batel. I'm going to have Safra, huh? Meisha. Remeshaya. Begadol Hador. When Rashi learns over here, Meisha means, by Moses' life! That's crazy! Shaper Karma, that's a svara. But v'lo shmila hadayom repchiliya ketusva mishmei derav. How about this? Haborer tzorot migrono shechaviro. Chayev l'shalem lo demei chitim. Here comes a guy, and he's a very kind neighbor, and he takes out, you see, all these little rocks that he wants to put in the bottom of ashtrays, you know, that he sells. He takes all the little rocks out of your chitim. So, I mean, of course, as a good neighbor, you should thank him for clearing up your chitim. No, instead, the neighbor sues him. Why? Because until now, my goren was 30 bushels. Now you took out all the junk. I've only got 29 bushels. So you owe me a bushel. Well, but what do you mean? It was rocks. It was worthless. It was ridiculous. But, hey, man, bottom line is, what do you see from there? That Alma, Kila Chasre, you took away the volume. That's all that we don't care. You're going to say, well, you can't sue me for taking rocks. Nobody cares about rocks. I can sue you. I can sue you for the fact that the bottom line is that those rocks were basically worth another bushel of my chitim. So, achinami kila chasre. I mean, isn't that true over here? When you're dealing with the Isa, what are you going to say? You're going to say, it's batel. What is that supposed to mean? It's batel. Certainly the value of the guy's melach, I mean, it hasn't disappeared. It's here. So therefore, you can't just say, ah, that's meaningless. When you're dealing with something that is valuable to somebody, Well, it makes a lot of sense what Rav Abba is saying. I mean, the truth is, they didn't really attack Rav Abba's underlying svara by saying the business about Rav Yehuda and Rabbanan. I mean, they got him on a side point. You know, but as far as the main issue is concerned, basically, they seem to be ignoring what he was saying. I mean, he was saying, you're dealing with Mammon, the din of Tchumim is totally in Mammon, so why are we discussing whether the Melach and Mayim is Batal? Obviously, nobody holds. I don't care if you hold like Rabbon, you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, it's me, you know, nobody holds that somebody can walk off with another guy's money by saying that it's Batal. It's a joke. So why isn't this straight out, perfectly valid svara? What are you coming back at me from this Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbonin? I mean, so you want to make fun of me that I formulated it wrong? Is that it? What do you want? I should have said the other way. I mean, obviously I'm trying to say a case in which you cannot isolate one person's money and the other person's money. But I told you Sorin and Chitiv. So you would have said, well, of course, theoretically, I mean, the Sorim are there. I can see the Sorim. I'll pick out the Sorim and give it back to the guy. I mean, how could it be Batal if it's somebody else's money? So I said this case. But what are you coming at me for? Exactly. And the underlying issue over here is a question of how to view the Isser of Tchumim and its relationship to Mammon. Isn't that correct? Because what Rav Abba is taking for granted is that once we've defined the nature of the Baalut, then the Tchumim follow automatically. Because if there is Baalut, so then there is the Tchumim of that Baalut. Whereas what they seem to be saying is that the Iser Tchumim, although it's a function of Baalut, in other words, we're assuming at this point that if it hadn't been yours, it wouldn't have Tchumim. So if that's the case, I mean, nonetheless, you cannot say that necessarily there's no bittul in terms of the dinim of the Yisra of Tchumim. It doesn't follow that when I own something, that by definition, that's going to define the Yisra Tchumim on the Chafetz. The Chafetz still has to be Nikar in order for it to be Chal Tchumim. That seems to be what the underlying issue is. So in that case, the discussion on the surface seems to be ignoring the real underlying issues and instead talking about something that's relatively irrelevant to the thing. And the truth is the Rishayim don't really have, but what the Ritva says is, boy, you got to pray hard when you get to this sugya. Because it's really very, very complex, very disturbing that the Gemara doesn't seem to, and it gets worse. I mean, this goes on, that the Gemara never touches on the underlying issues that are really bothering everybody, which is normal. I mean, that's the way we talk past each other purposely, so that each one is forced to deal with how he learns, how he sees the totality of an issue, versus how the other one sees the totality of the issue. The Gemara rarely gets into the actual issues of this particular thing, because it comes from so many preconceived elements that each one has developed, one step after another. You can't go back to the beginning in every sugya. We've pointed this out many times. That's the derech of the, not only of the Gemara, but oftentimes of the Rishonim. It's only the Acharonim who think that they can analyze something in terms of what it's saying here, which is really because that's the way they think. In other words, a Rishon who sees something in its entirety, it's a waste of time to discuss this issue because we're going to have to get back to what's behind your assumptions on this issue, and that can go on forever because then we'll have to deal with what's behind those assumptions as well. The Gemara does that, but oftentimes, at least there's hints at what the direct implications are for this case. But here, you got to pray hard. So this Shmaitza needs lots of tzumusa, says the Ritva. Right? I mean, and this is accepted as being one of the most difficult sugyas in Shas here to try to figure out what's happening. And as I say, it gets worse. So what is Rav Safra showing over here? That he seems only to be discussing, Rav Safra, the fact that when there is mammon, that the mammon is in batal, which l'chor is not the question that we were discussing anyway. Omar le Abaye, v'lo shali le lamar, the moment she yesh lo tovim, the moment she ain lo tovim. I don't understand. How do you bring a raya from these two cases? I mean, the case that you're trying to show that we should look at the moment and consider it suitable for being sued over is where a guy is suing. I mean, obviously, where a Bilam is marketed, and he says, look, you've destroyed my volume, okay? So then I understand that, of course, there we're forced to deal with the moment issue. Once we need to deal with the moment issue, nobody in his right mind is going to argue with you and claim that, well, there's no moment because it's bata. That's true. But over here, are we really dealing with an underlying moment issue? No. The guy lent you something. He has no intentions of demanding it back now. When he lends water, he obviously doesn't intend to get back the same water. So basically what he's done is he's allowed you to take his water, give it back other water. So what in the world does that have to do now with the mammon? We're not coming to define whether technically you own something in that if you decide to be teveya it, you could get it back. It's, I've changed my mind, whatever. But that's not the question over here. The question of the mammon, therefore, is irrelevant. Because when I lend you something, why are we discussing who owns it anymore over here? Right? So in this case, I don't mind that you have my water in this Isa. So we're not really being Toveya anything at all. So if this is the case. So what exactly is the Maman? Only the fact of the Isser of Shvisa. There is no other purpose to the Maman. Therefore, for you to identify the Isser Shvisa as being a function of the Maman is irrelevant, because the Maman is irrelevant. So here we finally are touching on some underlying svaras. In other words, the question is the primary issue over here who owns what? In which case you could say, having determined who owns what, the tchumim follow as a matter of course. Or is the primary issue over here nothing to do with who owns what? Because we're not even discussing that. I'm perfectly happy for you to take my water and for you to use my melach and your isa. Thank you very much. Okay, so now what's left? The fact is that water, having been mined, it was Kedesh Shvisa, in such and such a place, should now not be able to revert to your Shvisa. Okay, that's an Isser question. So now an Isser question, we're going to determine along the lines of Bittel of Isser, as we always do. Therefore, I don't understand. So he says, so you're telling me, wait a minute, certainly we're not going to argue about the Tvisa of the Mokum of the other person's money. So over here, there's a Tvisa in the Isa of the other person's money, says Abayat Rav Safra. Well, yes, so what? Don't we first have to determine whether we're going to be looking at the Isser considerations or at the Maman considerations? Nobody in his right mind is going to argue with you about Maman not being Bato, but that's not the case. Correct?
He's Mavater on
this money. I have rights to this Isa too. But I mean, that's not the point. I'm allowing you to take my things. So what? Fine, give it to me. There's still Isser Tchumi. There's nothing to do with it. There's no such thing as Bittul of Baalut. If there would be, then if somebody would show for something for me, I could be Mevater my Mokum Shvita. You can't be Mevater your Mokum Shvita. The fact that you would be literally Mafkir, even you're not allowed to do, but let's say you'd be literally Mafkir, wouldn't lose its Mokum Shvita, having been Kone Shvita. But the point is that means that the Shvita is not a din in your ownership. It's a din in their having been ownership. That was Kone Shvita. But we're not discussing Mammon. We're discussing Yisr. That's what Abaye is claiming, right?
Amen. Are we saying that this is because of the Isser Shvisa that the Mammon is not Kone Shvita? Mixability of these items, that they're unrecognizable once they're mixed in, not as in the throat, just because the nature of them is they disappear?
Yeah. Got it. I mean, yes and no, but let's make it easy. No, because the chitim and saorim obviously don't disappear, but nonetheless, there is a din of bittul.
They could be able to be picked out piece by piece.
But nonetheless, there's taruvas. It's still called taruvas. Taruvas isn't really a function of complete disappearance. Okay, but this is not the place to discuss taruvas. You could have asked this back in the sukkah, where you could have separated out the branches of the tree that's v'chubar, and the other part, nonetheless, we say it's bottle.
I must have missed that top, so I'm trying to understand it here.
Okay, fine. But whatever Taruvus means, here it's Taruvus. Whatever defines Taruvus. So therefore, since there's no Tviya of Maman, if there's no Tviya of Maman, we should deal with the Yisr. Omar Lay, Surav Safra says to him, indeed, you're telling me that the function of Maman and its relationship to Tchumim is such that it's only the Tviya that's important. Is that what you're saying? Lo Taimer. Hodi Omar Rav Safra, Rav Chisda. If you're right, if I could ask you this question. Because what are you telling me? You're telling me that because there's no Tviya, therefore the ownership becomes a non-issue, right? Okay, now, the next piece is almost impossible to understand unless you're willing to make this little leap. And this other is going to explain it. We need to see the relationship of the Tviya to Maman in a Taruvus of Maman as being the equivalent of the existence of Baalut to a Taruvus of Isser. In other words, in the same way that you're claiming that when we would have a combination of two Mamans, that's irrelevant because there is no Tviya, so by the same token, if we have a combination of two Isurim, then it should be, what are you saying? Irrelevant only because there's no Maman. But in the same way that if there would be a Tviya, then there would be a change in how we view a mixture where Maman is involved, so too if there is Maman, we should have a change in the din in a case where pure Isser is involved. For instance, says Rav Safra, let me ask you, Hadiyam Rav Chista, Nivela B'Tela B'Shchuta. The din is, over here, we're trying to find, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that min b'mino is not bato, but min b'she'eno mino is bato. Even though people think that means, that min b'mino, things that look the same, smell the same, and act the same, are min b'mino, that's not true. Min b'mino could be something which is halachically defined as being within the same set of things as well. Let's say two things that could never be members of the same set for some other reason. For instance, let's say you have a nevela and you have a shchuta. Okay? A shchuta, because it's not metame, will never be a member of the set of nevelas. Because a nevela will be metame. There's no way that a shchuta can be metame begufay. Correct? On the other hand, a nevela is, strangely enough, a member of the set of shchutas. Why? Because the moment that the nevela begins to rot and becomes now inedible for a ger, since the Torah says you should give it to the ger and so on, it no longer is considered to be food, and it's not metame as a nevela. On the level of tuma chamura, that doesn't mean necessarily it loses its shame medical for other things, but it won't be a nevela. Therefore, strangely enough, according to Rav Yehuda, who holds that min b'minai will not be bato, but min b'sheino will be bato, points out Rav Chisda, the weirdest thing, that a nevela can end up being bato in a lot of shchutas. Why? Because efsher l'shchuta she'tehaseh nevela. So therefore, it's min b'sheino mino. You're trying to be now mevato something here, and you're being trying to be mevato in something that is different, and therefore it will work. But because a shruta is innately different than a nevela.
What does it mean to batel? If you have
if you
have a thousand,
if you have two, shruta, you have two shrutas,
or two shrutas and half a nevela, it becomes,
and one nevela,
it becomes batel.
Yeah.
What does it mean? You can eat that.
What would?
I mean, from two.
What bittul always means.
No, but I mean, you can have a nevela.
What are you laughing at?
No, I'm saying. I mean, but
that's what bittul means. You have two pieces of shruta and one piece of nevela.
One is asur.
That's called rov. Bittul barov means that even though one was asur, it is now permissible for you to eat it.
You can eat all three.
That's a machlokas, for sure. That's a machlokas. When the same person, go ahead now and eat all three. Well, that depends on how we define this type of bittul, that it becomes heter, or that the Torah is giving you the right to go ahead and eat anyway. But if you're vada eating the yeser, so then you weren't given the right.
Not 16 or 100.
That's taste. 60 is where you have taste being bud, right? So that's where the taste is nicker. But over here, where you're trying to determine what piece is what, so your assumption, because of the rov, is that this piece is kulayet. Okay, so now the shaila is, what do we look at? Right. So first of all, the chiddush here is that we define min v'mino in terms of sets that include the halachic disposition, or the potential halachic disposition of this thing, right? Comes on Rav Chisda that to say that that determination of what it's a member of as a set goes according to that which is the rov. In other words, that which is the mevatel. If that mevatel could be the same, halachically or otherwise, as the thing which is being, it's being mevatel, so then it's a min b'mino. And it's not, the thing will not be botel in it. But if the mevatel could never be the same as that thing, then it's a min that is in something which is eino mino, because it's the mevatel that's the ikar over here, and that's what we will look at. So in this case, the tuma will be botel as well. You touched it, you don't become tummy. The other way around, however, if the nevela is a shruta, however, is Eina Batela Benevela, if the Nevela is the Bevatel, since a Nevela can become a Shchuta, how? By losing its dinim of Tuma through Sricha, so in that case, it will be a Min Mimina. It will not be Bat. I ask you, says Rav Safra, are you going to claim to me that if we introduce the issue of Mammon, that then we will have to change the parameters here? In other words, you're telling me that eat ba'alim lo b'teila? That since we're all agreed, after all, are we not? That when something is owned by someone, we certainly cannot be mavata the mama. So therefore, if they were owned by different people, then obviously we wouldn't be able to say bito. And therefore, the ownership will now create a situation of tuma that didn't exist before. Are you going to say something as mad as that? So you're going to introduce now the question of balut into the question of the iser. Well, I say that that's the equivalent of introducing the question of tviyah into the shaila of mammon. It's irrelevant. Whatever the issue that we need to deal with is, that's what we deal with. The fact that had there been other circumstances we would need to deal with that question is irrelevant to what we're dealing with. So therefore, getting back to my case, I mean, I'm supporting Rabada. Right? Let's remember what happened over here. Rabbi Hoshaya went ahead and supported the laughers. Rav Safra goes and says, why are you supporting them? Rabada makes perfectly good sense. Because over here, you were machasrele his kila. You were machasrele his volume. Right? You understand the problem over here is that Rav Safra seems to be arguing against himself. That's why we're looking for why this is an attack on Abaya, not an even bigger attack on Rav Safra. Let's remember the steps. Rav Hoshaya said, the fact that somebody owns something is irrelevant to the question of issue. That's what he seems to be saying. Even though he attacked him on the side point of whether it was like Rav Yehuda or like the Rabban. So comes along Rav Safra and says, how can you ignore the fact that when the guy put in melach, it's the equivalent of the person who removed stones from the chitim. It's still there, and therefore he has a right to be toveyu on the missing volume. You're certainly not going to say that the melach doesn't exist. So the same thing is true over here. So Rav Safra seems to be the one to claim that the moment is an issue. Now all of a sudden, Rav Safra is screaming at Abaya and saying, how are you attacking me by coming along? You can see why the Ritva says that you need to pray. How are you attacking me by coming along and claiming that there's a difference between mamon sheyesh lo tovim and mamon she'ein lo tovim. Certainly you're not going to be crazy enough to say that if you have an avela and a non-avela, that the question of who owns what is going to be a factor in determining the tuma. For heaven's sakes, that's exactly what they were saying to him before. They were saying, let's first determine the tchumim and forget about who owns what. Right? So obviously, Rav Safra wasn't arguing about the question of whether mammon is a factor in a taruvas. Rav Safra was only arguing for assuming that mammon is the basis of the kinyan of the tchum, and therefore we need to worry about tchumim. Obviously, you got to worry about mammon. To which Abaya says, "Well, why would you have to worry about mammon if nobody is suing?" Says Rav Safra, "What are you crazy? I'm not trying to say that we should introduce another issue. I'm talking about the issue. Because if I'm right, the tchumim is a function of mammon. Obviously, you got to determine the mammon." I'm not determining the moment in terms of a legal suit for the moment. I'm determining the moment in terms of the Isser. Surely you're not going to suggest that when I need to determine Isser, I would go ahead and look at whether there's moment involved. So by the same token, don't tell me that if I'm looking to a place to determine whether there's moment, not because of the moment, because of the Isser, that I should have to worry about whether somebody's going to sue or not. That's irrelevant. Exactly as irrelevant as whether A owns an avela and B owns the shluta, or vice versa. Now that makes a great deal of sense. It's only on the surface that the sugya looks crazy. Right? I mean, it seems Rav Safra's talking, you were the one who just talked about mammon, and now you're saying, why would mammon be an issue? Yes, it's if you don't think about what's really going on, but if you look at what's going on, it makes perfectly good sense. Alright, so again, Rav Abba, let's start again, go review the whole sugya. Very, very simple, step by step. They were sitting and arguing between themselves, what could be the meaning of this Mishnah that says that we gotta worry about the tchum of a little bit of salt. After all, a little bit of salt, not even there. Comes on Rav Abba, what is that supposed to mean, not even there? I understand. You're gonna tell the guy that his salt, he doesn't have a right to get because it's bottled. That's like saying that a guy who loses 10 tons of salt in somebody else's 11 tons of salt, it'll be bottle and he doesn't have any salt. That's stupid. They all burst out laughing. Says Rabbi Shaya, darn right, they should have burst out laughing. What kind of stupid svar is that? What kind of stupid svar is that? Says Rabbi Safra to Rabbi Shaya, I understand you. I mean, what are you going to say? That because it's not nikar, the salt, and therefore it doesn't have chashivas, I mean, certainly you're not arguing on the question of whether, even though a guy took out something that's totally worthless, rocks, he took out of somebody else's chitin, nonetheless, the person has a right to sue him. So therefore, we're not discussing whether the guy has mammonis here or not. If tchumim is a function of mammon, so then why shouldn't Rav Abba is 100% right? You want to argue about whether tchumim is a function of mammon, so discuss that. But don't come along and laugh at him because it has something to do with Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan. It's all irrelevant. Says Abaya, wait a minute, I mean, after all, if nobody is interested in the mammon, and nobody is suing him for mammon, so why should the mammon be an issue? So he comes along, and he says back to Abaya, suing? Is that the point? Aren't we trying to define now where the tchum comes from? If the tchum is a result of a person's particularist ownership, it has nothing to do with whether we're suing for that ownership. To introduce the question of whether somebody is suing, where what we need to deal with is a din in bittul of ownership, which is what creates the tchumim, makes about as much sense as saying that where we need to deal with the question of whether it's something as an avela or a shchuta in terms of tuma, it should be defined by who owns it. Why should it be defined by who owns it? Same thing over here. Who owns it should be defined by who's suing for it. Who's Toveya? What does one have to do with the other? Keep the issue separate. There's Isser, there's Mammon, there's Tfiya, there's Isser that is a result of Mammon. What are you confusing the issue for? And you know what? If you dare try to tell me that yes, indeed, it is a function of Tfiya, why would you say that? You would say it because, I know what you'd be saying. You'd be saying that the definition of the chashivut of the thing in terms of bittul is defined by somebody's particular focus on it. That's what you'd be saying. You're going to turn around to me and you'll say, no, wait, who says that that's not an issue? In the same way, are we not agreed that let's say these chatichot that our president was worried about, he'd be absolutely right if each one of these chatichot was an important state, because then you have a chaticha ruya lehitkabed, for instance. That type of thing is not bato. It has too much of its own identity. So you'll say, maybe the same thing is true over here. Maybe indeed, the chashivut of the tchum of a thing is a function of somebody caring about it. And therefore, it should be irrelevant over here once it goes into the bittul. Maybe that's what you're trying to tell me. Now, I don't deny. That wouldn't be insane. I'll just prove to you that it's wrong. V'chite markinami, maybe you'll try to tell me exactly that argument, that how could we not consider the question of the tviyah in the moment, because that's what makes it obviously choshev enough for us to worry about the very tchumim that you claim are so dependent on the moment, right? Oh, well, Tanya Amar Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, Cheftze Hefker Konim Shvita Af Al Pi She'ein Lehem Baalim Domin K'mi She'yesh Lehem Baalim. So you see that something that isn't even owned by anybody still is able to be kone shvita. So if that's the case, where we're defining which shvita it's kone, don't try to tell me that it's the tviya that defines the chashivut. Because even something that doesn't even have a bialik would still be able to be kone shvita. So once we define that shvita as being a result of whose balut it is, it makes no sense at all to claim that it's the tviyah on the balut that gives it the chashivut to be kone, it's makam shvita. Because you see, you don't even need the balut per se to be kone shvita, you see? Now even though lamaisa, we don't paskin, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it doesn't say, well, just bring a raya from Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, when we pass it like the Rabbanan, who hold that Chefze Hefker are not Kone Shvita, and whoever picks them up, they get the din of the Erev or Tchum of that person. So Tosis explains that, basically what I've already explained, I included in the argument, but Tosis explains that yes, that's true, but what are the Rabbanan arguing about? They're arguing in a case where we don't have to take into consideration the Balut at all as an issue. Fine. But if we would, right, they're not arguing where there is an issue of balut, so then the Rabbanan would be motivated that you go according to the Baalim, even though there's no tviyah. That's all I'm trying to prove. I'm trying to show you that in the same way, there normally we define something with balut, but where there's no balut, it doesn't mean there's no tchum, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It's okay. The Rabbanan disagree with that. Fine. I'm not talking about a case where there's no balut. Darn it, am I? I'm talking about a case where there is balut. So the underlying svara is still the same. There's no reason to assume that the Rabbanan would come yet to introduce another issue, which is the tviyah. They just say, without balut, there's no tchum. Fine. Without balut, there's no tchum. But nonetheless, you do see that the chashivut of the tchum is not a function of the Baalut as determined through Tviyah. There's no reason to say that. Correct? It's just, that's, once there's Tum, now let's see how we define it. But in the same way that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says, well, you don't need Baalut, so too the Rabbanan who say, yes, you do need Baalut, are not going to introduce something called Tviyah in the Baalut. That's the point that he's making. Therefore, I still say, says Rav Safra, Rav Abba makes perfectly good sense. You're absolutely right. There's nobody who gives a hang about this salt and this water right now. But the issue isn't giving a hang. The issue is a tchum. What is the tchum defined by? Who owned it at the time of the Knesset? Has that changed? Because it's mixed. Hasn't changed. So Rav Abba is perfectly correct. What's the problem? Since it's owned, and I need to first define who owns it, then I know whose tchum it is. If I know whose tchum it is, so now there's nothing to do about it. I'm going to have to keep the tchum of that person as well. Okay, so let's just see that inside. V'chite machanami, maybe you'll tell me. Now, who's to say that introducing some other element wouldn't be definitive? Because it's not a definitive element. Because v'atanya omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, cheftze hefker konim shvita, afa pish ein lembalim domim kemishi yesh lembalim. By the way, once again, Rav Safra seems to be arguing against himself, correct? Because Rav Safra's whole point is that you need to first determine the Baalut, and then you determine the Tchum. And therefore, Rav Abba is right, because the Baalut is not going to be Batal. So to go ahead and to bring Rav Yochanan ben Nuri seems to be undercutting your own self. You're sawing off the branch that you're sitting on. Because you're saying, well, whatever, after all, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri himself says that you don't need Baalut for Tchum. So again, we're scratching our heads. Rav Safra, can you make up your mind what you're trying to say? But again, once you consider what's really happening over here, you're just being silly in asking that question. All Rav Safra is trying to, he's not trying to hold like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. On the contrary, obviously, Ketosis Kasha is not a Kasha, it's the Teretz. We all know that Halacha is not like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, okay? So we need to define the Baalut, because that is the issue. I'm just trying to show you from Rav Yochanan ben Nuri that you don't need to have a tviyah, that's all. You just are coming to define where the makom shvita is. It's not the specific relationship that the person is demanding. This is my thing and I want it on my table for Shabbos to be kona makom shvisa. I mean, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you don't even need Baalut. Fine. We hold the Rabbanan who say you do need Baalut, but they're certainly not arguing with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri about the underlying idea that the Baalut defines the Tchum, not because the guy is standing there and shouting, I want it on my table. It's just the way in which we determine where something is, that's all. Well, why should Tviyah be the issue? So let's get back to the basics. Back to the basics means, let's define who owns what, then we know which Tchum is which, and now the Mishnah makes perfectly good sense. There's two people that own things. There's two Tchum into two people. How exactly do you want to ignore one of those Tchum?
So it's basically the point of what I understand correctly is that Mama what happens to be a factor in the Yisr, not that it's an issue of Mama.
Correct. I'm just trying to tell you where the Tchum is. That's the only point of the moment. You're certainly not coming to ignore the moment, so you can't ignore where the Tchum is. It's very simple.
Keep trying to throw it back and say the moment is the basis of the whole thing, as opposed to accepting it as a factor within the Yisr.
Well, no, Abaya was more sophisticated than that. Abaya was asking that the moment itself should be a function of Tviyah, which now Rav Safra made fun of. I mean, that's like saying the moment should be a function in the Vela. Why should Tviyah be a function in moment? And if you say that it is because it's a function of Tchumim, I'll say to you, absolutely not, sir. Because then to say that the Rabbanan are arguing on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to the opposite extreme, and you need Tviyah to define the Tchum, what for? Who says that? Where would you come up with such a thing? It's ridiculous to say such a thing. You have no basis for it whatsoever. So don't throw at me, and don't you think there's a difference between Mamon Sheyesh Lo Tovim and Mamon Sheein Lo Tovim? In terms of what don't I think there's a difference? Stop being silly, throwing things at me. Yes, there's a difference, but it's irrelevant to Tchumim, that's all. So let's get back to basics. Is there or is there not a Tchum because of the ownership of this person that we've agreed is here? Now again, all of this is based on an assumption. The assumption being that the Isser of the Tchumim will always not just be defined by the ownership of the other person, but that it exists as a direct implication of the ownership of the person. If we say that Tchumim is an attribute of things, in the same way that Tumen Tyre is an attribute of things, and that the only thing that we need to determine is, okay, give me the values of the parameter that we call Isser Tchumim. The values of that parameter defined by ownership. Oh, then Rav Safra's making no sense. Then Rav Abba's making no sense. And then the whole Gemara makes absolutely, they're right. They should have left Rav Abba out of town, which is what they did. What are you telling me? So because we define where the Tchum is, so therefore this is a function of who owns what. What the heck are you talking about? That's probably why you snuck in the issue of chitim ben chitim versus chitim and saorim. Because deep down you recognized that you needed to take into consideration whether there would be a bittul of the Yisr element involved. That's why. To come off of your high horse here with your svara and admit that what you're really saying is that there's no bittul. But that's totally in the machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So therefore, it was fuzzy thinking. That's what they were laughing at. It's just fuzzy thinking. So the more he tainted, what? So did I come to take your coat? The more they laughed at him. So they laughed even more. You can't even understand what we're telling you. That's what you think, that we're interested in laughing. So we're laughing. So you come and introduce now a really brilliant issue. Am I taking your coat? Guy's really an idiot. He doesn't even hear what we're saying. We're laughing at him, and he thinks we're laughing at him because we don't like him or something. I mean, you know, like a two-year-old, go back to grade school and then come home when you finish college. But what are you coming in, sticking your nose into intelligent people? That's basically what the laughter was. Don't introduce fuzzy thinking. So what it is that they were saying about Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, they didn't need to attack the Svara. They were just showing him how fuzzy he's being. Yes?
If you think after what you just said, I'm about to give a question or an answer or anything.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
Absolutely shut.
Okay, good, good, good. We're getting places. Okay. Omar Leh. So Abaya says back to him, Mika Medamiti Sura Lamamona? Again, you're reintroducing the issue of Isser over here and saying that it's dependent on a mammon. It's not true. There's two separate definable things. The Isser is batal, and Tchumim are Isser. They're not mammon. The mammon is not batal. And therefore, we're all in agreement, but the question is whether your argument is relevant. If Tchumim, in fact, are entirely an Isser issue, it's just that one of the factors in determining where the Isser is who owns it, so then the question of whether ownership is batal is completely meaningless in determining whether the Isser of Tchumim is batal. That's all. That's all we're saying. And therefore, all of your arguments are meaningless. So we're left with, indeed, no reason to assume that we understand the Mishnah. In words, in the same way that the group of Talmidei Chachamim that laughed off Rav Abba's approach, rejected it out of hand, when we come to our Mishnah, we cannot give now some type of blithe solution and say, well, I mean, after all, it's got to be that since he doesn't lose his ownership on the salt, that therefore the salt is going to have an Isser Tchumim. They didn't accept that. So therefore, says the Gemara, okay, so what is the reason? The time am I. What indeed is the reason for us to insist that the bittul will not affect the Isser of Tchumim? Abaya says, beautiful, simple answer. The reason is very simple. Gzeira shematayasei, sabashutafut. If a woman can go next door and borrow some eggs and borrow some water or borrow some salt and make an isa and not have to worry about the next door neighbor's ingredients, so next time they make an isa together on Yontif, they'll make it together. She'll say, why don't we both make challahs together? You give half the flour, I'll give half the flour, we'll bake it together, you'll take half the challahs and I'll take half the challahs. And then they make me in big trouble. Because if one of them has an Erev to the north and one has an Erev to the south, they won't be able to move the challahs. And you're telling me that every household is going to know the difference of whether they made it b'shutfus with the main ingredient or they had some of the smaller ingredient. Nobody's going to know the difference. Therefore, we've got to sensitize people to this problem by letting them know that if you borrow ingredients, you're going to have to worry about the other person's tchum. Okay, you make it black and white. You can't give people so many options. This is a black and white issue. If it's not your own ingredients, you got into a problem of tchumim.
Even if it's salt and water.
Even if it's salt and water. Rav Amar, Rava says. Now, Rashi learns that Rava and Abaya not argue, and that, in fact, they're discussing different issues. So Abaye was discussing baking challahs. Rava is talking about cases where they mix pots of food. And over there, the issue would be tavlin. So Rava says, look, tavlin are never batel anyway, because tavlin, the taime avide, tavlin being made for the taste cannot be called batel. Taime lo batel. Tosfos says, I don't like that. But obviously both discussing different approaches. Abaye's approach to Issa wouldn't work for a Kedera. It would work for a Kedera too. What if they make a cholent together next time? So even if I bother salt for the cholent, I got the same problem. And Rava is saying that, look, you also understand that if she's going to borrow even something that's irrelevant, tavlin, I understand, nobody puts tavlin into the challah, but they'll put tavlin into the cholent, right? So you understand that the cholent we have a problem. No, so the melach to the challahs is as the tavlin, is to the kedera. You know, and that's come on to a new gezerah. Basically, there's elements that are not going to be batel because they're so needed for the proper taste of a thing that it's not even kedai to discuss, you know, whether there is a chashash to do it together. There's always an element of togetherness. Rav Ashi says, look, it's very simple. It's very simple. Could you eat it right now where it is?
Without
moving it?
Yeah.
You could move. So you could eat it. So what do you want to do? You want to move it. Thank you. Move it tomorrow. So Dover Shia Shalmatiri. Dover Shia Shalmatiri means if the same thing can be had beheter by waiting another day, we're not going to be batir things because of bittel. So move it tomorrow. You say, but you're not letting me eat. Why not? Eat it. Gesundheit, eat it.
Here.
Now that's called the Dover Sheish L'Matirin. So therefore, it's a classic case, as far as I'm concerned. Who's Machayev Yudavka to eat it this way? From here, you have a Raya to the Shittas of the Hasidim. That those people are truly machshiv their Shabbos cholent. It retains the chashivas of the Shabbos throughout the week.
They come on Sunday to eat the kugel. We had the cholent Sunday, and it was just as good.
There you go.
Who comes on Sunday?
It's a keli, but the least of keli, if you borrow someone's kli, is that too small a factor?
Yeah, because it's a davar that doesn't have mamoshes, doesn't have a tchulah. Rabbi Yehuda poter b'mayim. So, wait a second. See, now you're telling me Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, but water basically disappears. You cook it, it's gone. So in other words, it's only water. It's not arguing on the salt, right? Mayimin melach lo. All he's saying is that the water in the Issa doesn't appear any longer. But is that true? Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mayim Umela. Aha! The tailing. He says, they're both of Bain be Issa, Bain be Kedera. We'll deal with the Kedera issue in a moment. But first, let's deal with the Melach issue in the Issa. Okay, what do we do about that? Says the Gemara Lokasha. There's different types of salt. There's Melach Sodomit, and there's Melach Istrokamit. It depends. It's interesting that here Rashi says, Melach Sodomit is extremely thin, and therefore it's invisible in bottle. The raya, he says, is that we need mayim achronim to get melach sedomis off your fingers. How could you need water to get melach off your fingers? It's crystal. Just rub your fingers. You don't need water. Must be that melach sedomis is essentially so powdery that it's like a film. Exactly. Now there he's saying, like, melach, that kind of melach will be bottle. But another melach, a thick, and what they call the kosher salt, is not kosher. Or maybe it's kosher because it has so many asurim attached to it. That makes it kosher. But it's interesting that Rashi elsewhere says exactly the opposite. Melach Sodom is like rock salt. So it comes, yeah, it never really becomes, but of course it's no contradiction. And here we're talking about the element of the Melach Sodom is that would be in the Issa. Obviously we'll put rock salt in the Issa. So there we're talking about the question of the powder, the film, okay, that's bottle. But if you put in a real kosher salt and so on, it's not bottle. Now, okay, I got another problem, okay? Hatanya, what about the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mayim Melach, Batalim, Be'isa, Ve'ein betelem bekidera mipnei rotva. How can, he says, you can't be mavata the water in a cholent, because everybody sees the sauce of the cholent, and the sauce of the cholent is liquid. So the Mishnah doesn't seem to matter whether it's Isa or a Kedera, because after all, the Mishnah discusses Tavlin. I mean, people don't put Tavlin into the Kala, they put Tavlin into the Kedera. So the Mishnah seems to be assuming, just as we saw a moment ago, seems to be assuming Kedera. How do you explain that? Lokesha, haba'ava, habaraka. It depends how thick you make your cholent. I mean, some people make a cholent that's so thick it's basically solid, so then you don't see the mayim anymore. Other people make this watery chamin type of cholent, and that's more soupy. So over there you do see the water. So it's basically a function of whether it's nicker or not in review. Whew. Okay. Tough sugya, but beautiful. Lots of... Hashoel klimi chaviro me'erev yontov. You got to remember, they all claim that Rav Abba was wet behind the ears, and that you'll always remember. That it's Nav Lamed Ches.
He was what?
Pshita. He was wet behind the ears. Pshita. Lo tzricha shalom asrulo ela b'yontov. Sama v'teim alav reshuta yukvei kamash v'lan. That since he knew it was going to be his, he put it into his reshuts mentally. And that's fish to be kind of shvita. Well, now, I mean, obviously, because it means he didn't even discuss it before. So, the guy's basically given up, and because he knows he's going to be showing up. That hope lives eternal. And maybe he'll find another sucker. Boy, I'm going up to some tough characters over there. Fat chance. They're sitting around and discussing our Mishnah. Amar, why should I be makbid on all the ingredients? Lifto, mayim, melech, legabe, isa. Amar, Rabbi Abba, what? What are you saying? It's a moment issue. Well, yochel hala v'chadi. Achi kvalik. Omelu, what? Gultichu shakli. That made them laugh even more. Hadar achi kvalik. Omelu v'shaya. They're right. Shabu rabu de achi kvalik. What is he? Why did he himself say chitim b'sorim? Why didn't he say chitim b'sorim? Because that would be mean. Now, b'sheino mino. Mean b'sheino mino, he recognizes, indeed would have been bata. So, he's bringing a chita b'chita, maybe like Rabbi Yudala bata, Rabbana mifta bata. Amalei Rav Safa, Rabba Shaya, Maisha, Shapra Kamrit, V'la Shmielu Adyam Rabchia Katusfa, Mishvei Dera, Haborer Tzrorot Migrono Shechavero, Chayav L'Shalem L'Dmei Chitim, Alma Kila Chasre. So over here it's Kila Chasre. What are you going to say? You don't see it. It's a male. It's not Negea. I mean, the volume is here. Omele Abaya, who cares? L'shani l'mar b'y moment she'esh lo tovim, l'moment she'en lo tovim. Omele v'latayne echad yom rev chisa nevela b'teila b'shkuta l'fishi efshar l'shkuta sh'teya se nevela. But shkuta ina b'teila b'nevela v'fishi efshar l'nevela sh'teya se shkuta. Well, I mean, after all, they should have introduced a really important factor. How can I'm the chisa b'alim lo b'teila? But the underlying argument is, that's the bottom line here. So that's what I meant when I asked you, is anybody suing? Are we suing over here? So that we're coming out to define the moment, then you could say, well, once we determine in court that the moment is here, so then the tchumim are here. We're talking about the Yisur tchumim. So what is the reason for the Mishnah? Abaye Amar Gzera Shematas Isa B'Shutafut Rav Amar, because we're dealing here with Tavlin. Tavlin the time Avide, time is not Bato. Rav Ashi says, because you always have the option of eating it tomorrow. And Havile Dover Shesh Lomatirin. Bechol davar sheshu matirin, afilu be'elav lo batil. Rabbi Yehuda poter b'mayim. Mayim in melach lo, but hotani Rabbi Yehuda omer mayim u melach b'teili. Bein b'yisa, bein b'kderah. lo kasha. Haba melach sedomit, haba melach istrokamit. Vatanya, Rabbi Yudah Amar, mayim melach betelem bi'isa, ve'ein betelem bi'kidera, mipnei rotva. And here the Mishnah seems to be discussing kidera. Lo kasha. Haba ava, haba rak, now tell me that wasn't fun.